Welcome to a solo episode of V the People. I hope you've been enjoying some of the guests. I loved getting to share my interview last week with Jason Sizemore, and I have a ton of really cool people lined up. So if you've been following along, thank you. And also, if you have any ideas for other cool people that you'd like to have on, send them my way. I'm always open to recommendations. Okay, so solo app, I of course have a lot to talk about when it comes to what I'm watching. But again, if you're not a Love Island viewer in the summertime, I'm just going to go ahead and blanketly apologize because that's on top of mind. I feel like I have a night off because I'm recording this on a Wednesday, which is the only night it's not on. Although, for those of you who watch, you know that Saturdays are what's called After Sun, and having Sierra and the other co-host, whose name I don't know how to pronounce right now, has actually been like one of my favorite parts because I feel like I'm watching just my friends, and I've been loving After Sun, which I usually never even watch. So if you haven't, I would say tune in because they're funny. It just feels like they're like having margaritas on their back porch and yapping, like genuinely. It's great. So yeah, I've been watching a lot of Love Island, and listen, it is very, what I like to call, and maybe it's a little harsh, it's kind of like garbage TV, right? Like, what are we really watching? What are we really doing? The lore is that we're watching in somewhat real time. We get to have a response and participate in the couples and the things that happen. We also get to intervene when we feel like someone's in the villa who doesn't deserve to be there and speak out and let the producers know and watch the magic happen. There's a lot of cool things about it, right? But like, typically I would say the cast feels a little more just mature, I guess is the word. I mean, obviously they've always been young. I will say for me personally, I've notoriously gotten really self-conscious about my body. I don't know if I talked about this in the last solo episode or not, but I remember last summer, I just kind of like subconsciously, once it started and watching all the girls and their picture perfect bodies, I started to just become more mindful about like, what am I eating? How many steps am I getting during the day? And my wife, who was just intuitive as fuck, one day when I was on the walking pad, was like, are you feeling some type of way because you're watching Love Island? And in the moment, I was like, no, I'm just trying to get steps in, or, you know, I'm trying to like get through my anxiety or whatever. I do walk for my anxiety, but that's a different story. I thought about it and I was like, she's 100% right. That's what I'm doing. And so now I'm very mindful of when it's Love Island season to just remind myself that they are, in fact, 21 years old. You know, I'm like, that was a different time in our lives. That said, for example, Trinity, she's 21. I love her. She's hilarious. Probably been one of my faves from day one. She's 21, which means in the year 2020, she was 15, which means she was just starting high school when the world shut down due to COVID, which means her freshman and sophomore years of high school, she was going to school from home, which means she's just inherently different. I don't know if anyone has like young kids in their lives, but I have a nephew who probably should have been starting like preschool and pre-K during those years, and or even just being around adults. I don't know if he was even old enough to be doing that, but like, you can tell a difference in just his sensitivity and his social threshold. And part of that's beautiful because it's like you're so comfy being alone and you kind of learned to just rely on yourself. But then there's another part that definitely is affecting, you know, what it's like to be out in the world and amongst the people. So I feel like we're seeing that firsthand. Like, we're getting our first COVID class of Islanders. And for me personally, and I know I played the audio from my friend Katie on my last solo episode about the kissing. And it's true. I like at first I was like, yeah, 100%. You know, the kissing's kind of popping off this year in a bad way. But I'm just noticing more and more quirks. And for example, the girl's response to Casa Amor, I feel, has been the most aggressive reaction in any season I've ever seen. The rage splits was a lot for me. The screaming to the girls in Casa Amor, also a lot for me. And I understand, like, one of the things I love about Love Island is that we're celebrating our sexualities and it's empowering for women to talk about sex and own it. And that's all great. And I love that. There was something about the first episode of Casa Amor with the guys, the villa guys, the way they were treating the Casa Amor girls and their like little handshakes to each other and high fives. It felt way more dirty and kind of just icky in a way that I've never felt before about Love Island. Like, obviously, they're kissing everyone, they're kissing each other. We get it. Like, it's a lot. But something about that challenge in particular, I actually urged my wife to fast forward through because I knew she would just be appalled and grossed out. So there's a lot going on this year in Love Island USA, and I'm going to keep watching and we're going to keep, you know, working through it. But it also feels a little bit like a social experiment in a way that we've never seen. And I also think that I don't know if it's the downfall of the male species as a whole or if this is another direct reflection of the COVID years, but I just feel like the men in particular are so unserious, so entitled, lack accountability, and disrespectful for the most part. That's not a blanket statement. I could maybe say like there's one or two that I'm like, okay, there's hope for you. And I know everyone's talking about it on TikTok. I know it's all over our media. We do think that Bryce and Zach want to see each other naked in a way that is beyond friendship, correct? Which is also great. We love, we support. But it's making me feel like I'm being gaslit, kind of. And so, you know, something to just keep your eyes peeled for. Again, if that's not on your TikTok algorithm, I don't know what you're watching, but look it up and you'll see the examples that I'm referring to. And lastly, I will say, it just feels like in this group, the women are carrying all of the emotional labor and all of the serious conversations. So yeah, maybe all in all, this season is just such a reflection of our culture, and we will see friendships blossom way more than love. So great. I have not yet watched Maternal Instinct, but please know it's on my docket, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be giving it a 10 out of 10. I just haven't gotten around to it because Love Island is quite literally a full-time job. But my friend Rachel has been on my tit about watching Four Seasons for so long. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm really not into starting like a new series right now, but I'm going to do it. She sold me on the fact that it's only 8 episodes a season. They just finished season 2. And, well, they released season 2. And every 2 episodes is a different season. So, like, the first 2 episodes of season 1 are spring, and then the next 2 are summer, and you get the drift. But they're focusing on different couples going on vacation together, going on trips together, and giving you little glimpses into their marriages, their friendships, their relationships as time progresses. And my friend Rachel really sold it to me as something that's just like heartfelt, feel good, will make you laugh. And I will say, she was so right. And I'm halfway through season 2. I intend to finish it tonight. And I've been loving it. It is probably some of the most like realistic writing when it comes to marriage and long-term relationships and also friendships. Like, everything just feels very real and not even produced, if that makes sense. Like, obviously it's a TV show, but it doesn't even feel like you're telling me a story. It feels like I'm watching real life. It's just very realistic. And every episode is only 30 minutes. So if you're one of those people that you're like, I want a 30-minute episode and that's it, and I don't want to be watching these hour 20s of Love Island every single night, then this is the consumption for you. And I've talked to quite a few hetero couples who say it's a show that they both get a kick out of and they both love watching. So if you're looking for something new, highly recommend Four Seasons, written by Tina Fey. Coleman Domingo is in it. There's a lot of great acting, great writing, just all around great, great, great. So you're welcome. Okay. Listen, I don't have a ton of other things that I'm watching because, again, Love Island is a full-time job. But I do want to talk a little bit about what it's like to have an older brother. I feel like I have so many friends who have sisters and very few with brothers in my life. But I just want to give you a little glimpse into what it's like as an adult with an older brother. I received this text on Monday at 9:23 p.m. Need use, Y-O-U-S, no apostrophe, mom's and dad's ages. No period, no punctuation, no emojis, no hello, quite honestly. So I respond, well, I'm 2 years younger than you. Mom is 30 years older than me, and dad is 30 years older than you. I feel like that's a great trick to just have in your back pocket if you're trying to remember your parents' age. Just know how many years older they are than you. And for me, it's easy because for me, my mom's 30 years older than me. My dad's 30 years older than my brother. So really all I need to know is how old I am, and I can go from there. So I explain this to him. He responds, numbers, ? As if like he couldn't do the math. So I said, I'm 35. Dad is 36, mom is 65. Obviously, like, my dad's birthday is late in the year, my mom's is early in the year, so, you know, you can figure it out. My brother responds, holy shit, I'm 37. I said, yeah, yeah, you are. So all of this to say, he was asking me because he forgot his own age, and he was, I guess, trying to contextualize it, but, you know, that's what it's like to have an older brother. And also, if he actually calls me on the phone, I never fully know what to expect. It's either like a little bit of like a buzzed tipsy dial, or it's wanting to like vent about the fam, or he's mad that I talk to something super grown up to his kids about. There's a wide spectrum. I get a little anxious when I see his name light up on my phone. But he's also the best. So having an older brother, especially as an adult, it's great. It's titillating. It keeps you on your toes. And it's a little scary. So that's just one other quick update I have for you. For my last segment, which is the something we don't talk about enough. I'm going to go ahead and say something a little unpopular, which is that summer feels very overstimulating. I think that people really want to socialize in the summertime. People really want to make plans. They want to schedule trips. They want to do things. They're free during the day. They're just, people are out. They're happier. The sun's out. We get it. You can withstand the heat. Great. You can tolerate the heat. For me, as an anxious gal, the stimulation is just, so first of all, there's inside housework, right? That's great. During the winter time when it's like crisp and cold outside and everything's kind of covered in like frost or snow, and you can just really focus on those indoor projects, it's kind of just like freeing, right? We had like our big spring cleanup this year with the weeding and the mulching and the pulling and all of that. And I feel like all of a sudden it's like all back and I have to go do more weeding and go do more trimming and go do more mulching and just go do all the fixing and all the things. But then also there's still all the indoor housework. And then it's a Tuesday and people like want to meet for margaritas. And also like people want to go to the beach and people want to go to outdoor concerts. And I love people wanting to do all those things. I love that. But I'm also someone who really struggles to say no, or like feels bad about saying no. And so it just feels like a never ending cycle of trying to figure out what I'm going to say yes to. And let me fill you in on a little secret. My wife has POTS. That's not a secret if you're in our lives, but for POTS people or people with chronic illnesses, they talk about the spoon theory, which I'm so accustomed to that I didn't even realize it was like a thing people didn't really know about until recently. But it's just become a part of the shared language in our house, which is saving your spoons. So like you might wake up and you start the day with 5 spoons, and you know that there are certain activities that take a whole spoon or they take a half spoon, right? So like for me, oftentimes, if I go and socialize with people, I actually get a couple spoons for the day, depending on who I'm with, right? There are some people who like I say no to because they would take all my spoons. There are some people who like bring spoons when they come to my house, which I love and I tuck away. But then there's like certain like physical activities that exert a lot of spoons, or certain tasks around the house that you know is like, that's going to take a whole spoon. So if I do this, do you have enough spoons to do the other thing, right? So it's become like a shared language in our house, but I've also been talking in therapy about like using it for my social battery. Also, I just realized as I'm telling this whole story, my right hand is just like in the air as if I have a question, and I don't even know why I'm doing it. I just like started to do it and it felt good. I think it's because I went for a walk today, and whenever I go for walks in the heat, my fingers get so swollen. My friend who's a nurse practitioner said it doesn't mean I'm dying. Anyways, maybe it feels good that like the blood's flowing back down from my fingers. So anyways, I've been learning that like I have my own spoons. We all have our own spoons, right? They might look different. They might be used differently. But sometimes like the exhaustion of trying to figure out what my plans are on a weekly basis, and also making sure that I'm giving myself time to just chill on the couch in the air conditioning, especially when it's 90 plus degrees outside with like a 72 humidity index. I don't even know what like the appropriate measurement is for humidity, but I just know like there have been days recently where the air feels wet to me. It's stimulating. It's a lot. And, you know, I guess it's just something we don't talk about enough because we're all like, yeah, like hot girl summer, Aperol spritz, let's go. And 100% you should do that. But don't be afraid to save a spoon. Don't be afraid to say no. And sit your ass in front of an oscillating fan and watch Love Island. Okay. That's my something we don't talk about enough. If you've listened to this whole thing, you know, raise your right arm and then give yourself a pat on the back. I hope you're having a great day. I hope you're taking care of yourself. And I'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye, guys.